Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bragging rights are on the line, and maybe a state dinner too. It's Zach Gelb against former NFL Pro Bowl quarterback Gus Frerotte in our CBS Sports Radio NFL Picks, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Oh my goodness gracious. It is the Zach Gelb Show, hour number four on a big football Friday. As always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. The reason I say, oh my goodness gracious, Gus Frerotte in Fuego. He's been unbelievable this year picking games. He's 11-6-1. I have to go through it, but I think each and every week besides one, he's had a winning week. Now, I haven't been terrible, but I'm 10-8. I'd much rather be 11-6-1. So, very nice job by Gus Frerotte so far. All right, let's get to the former Pro Bowl quarterback. We shouldn't be surprised. Gus Frerotte, huddle up with Gus. Make sure you listen to it, radio.com, also wherever you get your podcasts. Gus, my friend, what's going on? What's shaking on this Friday?
Hey, not much, Zach. You know, I'm just wondering if that helmet you had on today was a little too tight. Maybe that's why you're not picking them right.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a helmet from the Army-Navy Radio Row that they give away when you go there. And it is a small helmet, and someone that has a large cabeza, yeah. That helmet, I probably could have used the bigger one. I was like Antonio Brown. The helmet wasn't fitting, except I didn't run out of the studio. I elected to continue to do the show.
Oh, that was good. I love that picture. It looked like me when I was back in playing midgets.
Gus Frerotte here with us. All right, talking about Antonio Brown. Let's get to the biggest news of the day. Your reaction, AB to Tampa Bay with Tom Brady and the Bucs.
Well, I think he has a relationship with Tom. It's probably a good fit. Hopefully Tom can keep him grounded. You know, that's what everybody's hoping for. I know he's still got a lot going on with the NFL and investigations and all of that. He's a talent. There were teams out there that wanted him. Looks like Seattle wanted him. But he's going to, you know, two teams that were picking him were two teams that had great wide receiver cores. So it's amazing to me that he wanted to go somewhere that had a good core. Maybe that's on purpose, that not all the attention's on him and he can still make quiet big plays.
You know, when I think about this, both those teams, Seattle and Tampa Bay, and clearly he goes to Tampa, it's both low risk, high reward for them, like you're saying, with the weapons that they have. If it doesn't work, you just cut him and move on. But right now you feel like it's either Tampa Bay or Seattle as the two favorites in the NFC. Do you like one team over the other? Who do you think is the favorite now in the NFC to get to the Super Bowl?
Well, I was, in Seattle's corner. And then, you know, I saw what Tampa's D did last week. And, I don't know. I think Tampa's bringing it together a little bit. They've had a few injuries, but Tom's, you know, bringing together, you know, a leader like that who's done what he's done. He's not going to let his team quit in any way. And then you got the, you know, a guy who's up for MVP out in Seattle, willing his team to victories week after week. And so both of them, I think, are right at the top. And it's going to be an interesting matchup if we ever get to watch them play.
Gus Frerotte here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Football Friday picks, as we do each and every Friday in football season at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. Make sure you check out his podcast, Huddle Up with Gus. I know you're very tight with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick got another win last weekend. They're 3-3. Now they're headed into the bye. Rams next week. Fitzpatrick won't be the starter. It's going to be Tua Tagovailoa. I'm sure that was probably tough for you to take there, Gus, but did you think it was the right move by the Dolphins?
I personally did not. I mean, obviously, I'm very close with Ryan. From our talks throughout the throughout preseason and everything he went through with that team, and putting his heart and soul into that team. And just a few weeks ago, we had a talk and how excited he was about the offensive line and the team coming together, and how he felt really good about the locker room, and he really felt like they were going to go somewhere, and they had a really good shot in that division. And then I think it just blindsided him. And, it's hard when you work that hard. It's like you, Zach, if somebody just said, hey, Zach, we're taking you out right now. You're doing a great job, but too bad. We're going to put some other guy in that's never done this. And he was really good in college, but, we're going to put somebody else in your spot. It's hard to take. It's hard to manage how you deal with all those things. And I thought his best quote was when he said, I got fired, and then I had to sit with the guy who fired me and also – the guy who's replacing me for 4 hours in a Zoom call. So that, there was a lot of emotions going on last week for Ryan, for sure.
And I would imagine the thing that's probably the toughest to take is he's not a dummy, Fitzpatrick. He knows that Tua's the future there. But this team's 3-3. Like, personally, I get the decision from Miami's standpoint. You get him off a bye, young quarterback, you put him in. And I think those reps are important. But if this team was, 1-5 or 1-6, it's a different feel. To be 3-3 and you do nothing wrong, that's the tough part, and that's why I understand some of Fitzpatrick's frustrations.
Yeah, no, I do too, and I think that, hopefully everybody stays injury-free, but, I think that he's going to play again this season, and knowing Ryan, how he is, and how he's a team guy, that no matter what the situation, and if his number is called, he's going to go out and perform the best of his ability.
Oh, so you think he could get back on the field, even if Tua, hopefully he stays healthy. You think there's a chance he could get back on the field?
Well, I mean, what if Tua loses 4 in a row?
Yeah, I would still say
nobody wants their team to lose.
Yeah, I would still say you keep Tua, right? Because that's your young quarterback. That's your franchise quarterback. You think they would take him out and maybe have him see the game from the sideline?
Well, I mean, everybody has their own opinion. My opinion is the team is riding on a high right now. Yeah, we have a great prospect, a kid that's coming in that showed unbelievable ability. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them, but I'm saying if the team does go down and let's say they don't win their games, they have a chance to go out and play really well in their division and win some tough games and make a stake where they haven't done that before. And then ride high into the off season, but if you take a tank and then you're going low into the season, maybe there's a little confidence that isn't there. And there's other things that happen because you got to remember Tua didn't start the season. He's coming in the middle of the season. And that's a tough place for a quarterback.
Talking to Gus Verratt right now, Huddle Up with Gus. This is his podcast. All right, Gus, 11-6-1. You have been on fire. I'm having a good year at 10-8, but I wish I was 11-6-1. Even though you have that one push there, and we don't like ties here on this show, if we've made that clear.
No, we don't like them.
No, we don't like those whatsoever. We either want a win or a loss. So I will start you off first, or I'll have you go first. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm going to go back up in your neck of the woods, and I am going to take the Patriots over the Niners. I think the Patriots are giving the Niners two, but I think the Niners just have too many injuries, And Superman's got to come back and prove himself this week. And I think Belichick's going to come back and have a great defense and a good mindset on how to stop the Niners. So I'm taking the Patriots this week.
I think that's a good pick by you because I think the Pats are going to lose this weekend. Now, I'm not picking that game, but whenever I think the Patriots are going to lose, they 9 times out of 10 end up winning. The game against Seattle and Kansas City are the two outliers, but most of the time, whenever I think the Patriots lose historically and we'll lose, they end up winning. So I think you'll get another victory this week is what I'm saying. So you start off Pats -2. I'm going to give you my underdog right away. I'm going to take the Lions +2.5 points. Not only do I think they cover, I think they win the game outright. Atlanta coming off their first victory of the season last week, so maybe they make it 2 in a row. I just think that this Falcons defense is so bad not that the Lions are unbelievable, but they have some pieces there offensively. I think DeAndre Swift has a big day. Matthew Stafford has a big day. I like the Lions in a high-scoring affair to win the game. I think they win it like 31-27, something along those lines. I like the Lions plus the 2.5 points.
I like that pick. I like that pick. All right, you ready for my number two?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, my number two, I think you're going to like it because these guys got trounced last week, and they're going to be looking for a little makeup, but they're going to play a team who's not very good right now. I'm going to take the Packers over the Texans, only given 3.5, and I thought that was pretty good. You know, the Packers may be down a little bit, but you know, they got one of the best quarterbacks out there, and I think they're going to be coming back looking to be hot again. I think that humbled them a little bit, and they're going to get them back on the right track.
Two great minds think alike, my friend Gus Farrakh, because I saw that game this week, and then I saw Aaron Rodgers this week get annoyed with some of the questions from the media, how people are starting to question this Green Bay team. I don't know if Aaron Jones is going to play in this game, but I don't think it matters. I know the Texans got a W. Actually, they lost last week into Tennessee, but they got the W the week before that. They could score the Texans, so maybe it's close early, but ultimately, I'm with you. I think the Packers end up running away with this game late, so I'll take Green Bay as well, minus the 3.5. Final pick from Gus Farrakh. What do you got?
All right, I'm going my underdog this week. I think it's a pretty good one. You know, these guys have been playing pretty good. They had a quarterback switch early on, but you know, I've been riding them pretty good this year. So I'm going to take the Bears as my underdogs going out to the Rams. The Rams are giving them 6, and you know, I think it's going to be a really good game. And I, you know, last week I watching the Rams, I didn't see Jared Goff playing his best football, and I think that the Bears are going to have a good game plan going in there. So I'm taking the Bears getting 6 at the Rams.
I can't wait to watch this game. And most of the games in the year of 2020, we go into it saying, all right, it's a quarterback against another quarterback. It's a big offensive player. Maybe you're still in it on a fantasy football game on a Monday night, and you need Allen Robinson to get you 15 points. But it's the defenses here. It's Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald. You're a quarterback, Gus, lining up against a guy like Aaron Donald or Khalil Mack. What's going through your mind?
Well, you know, Aaron Donald is just, he's amazing because he's playing it from an inside position where, you know, Khalil Mack is coming from the end. He could have a tight end and a tackle blocking him, but he's always going to kind of have that outside arm free, and he knows he can get some one-on-ones. Where Aaron Donald, he can get some one-on-ones, but if they want to double-team him all game, it's pretty easy to do. And, you know, teams are figuring him out, but even though they're figuring him out, Aaron Donald is just a disruptor, and you don't have a lot of time in that pocket when you're an opposing quarterback playing against either one of these teams. So it's going to be very interesting. The Rams, I'm sure you're going to see a lot of trick plays through them, and we're going to see if Nick Foles can hold up and get the ball out quick.
In your career, who was the defender that you went into a game and you were like, yeah, I don't really want to go up against this guy. This guy's going to have himself a day.
Well, you know, it's funny. My son and I are doing all these cards now, and we're going through all my old sets of cards. I've collected cards, baseball, football, for a long time. And we were going through this one year, and it was a 95, I think, collection. And I showed Gunner. I said, Gunner, look at this guy. His name is Eric Swan. He hit me as hard as anybody ever has in the NFL. He was a defensive lineman for the Arizona Cardinals. And that dude just brought it every game I've ever played against him.
That's great. You know, you're looking at the cards. Yeah, this guy, he beat up your old man pretty good back in the day.
Yeah, he did.
Last one, Gus Farrakh. I will go Cleveland minus the 3.
Oh.
I look at Cleveland, Bengals, no Joe Mixon. I know Baker and the Browns had a rough week last week. This is what the Browns do, though. They're going to lose against the really good teams like Pittsburgh and Baltimore. But against the not-so-good teams, they're going to find a way to win and win going away. I like Cleveland minus the 3. So here are the picks, Gus Farrakh. Pats minus 2 for you. Packers minus 3.5 for you. Bears plus 6 for you. I go Lions plus the 2.5. Packers minus the 3.5. And I take the here we go Brownies. Here we go. Woof, woof. Cleveland Browns minus 3. What's on the podcast this week? What do you guys got cooking?
We got Melissa Stockwell this week. She was a college athlete, went into the military. She got into a horrific accident where a mine blew up her her Humvee. She was one of the forward people in the military, in the Army, and she became a Paralympian. And now she's a triathlete running on one leg. And she's just an amazing story. And you talk about we all have trials and troubles in our life, and we got to get through things. She's the epitome of it, and she has come through unbelievably, and she is just a great story to listen to.
Well, I can't wait to listen to it. It seems like it's going to be a great conversation. Gus Verratt, everyone in your family, be healthy, be safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy. I hope you get a bigger helmet.
How about that from Gus Verratt? You can see that picture at Zach Gelb. I do have a large cabeza. And Connor, you could even attest, when you were taking that photo, my head almost got stuck in the helmet.
Yeah, you made a little bit of a noise, like you were really having a tough time taking off the helmet. I got a little bit worried for a little while there.
Now, let me go back and look at the photo. I do look slim, though, in this photo, and I've been losing a lot of weight. But yeah, this helmet. My head looks fat here. Oh, no doubt about it. That's a good job by Gus. Yeah, that is one small helmet. Now, real quickly, hopefully, if I have to get away from the microphone, Connor, just like start singing the ABCs or something like that. So there is this Army-Navy helmet here in the studio. Yeah, this thing is, I'm looking at it right now. It's not a real football helmet. Yeah, this is just one of those sign up kind of, you know, put autographs on a football helmet type of situations. But this is, yes, it is a small helmet. Not made for someone that's built like an offensive lineman. We got a lot of stuff in this studio. Here's something I'm surprised about, and I don't know if he's going to be happy with this, but I'm touching his football. Tiki Barber, you know him, Tiki Barber, our very own Tiki Barber, Tiki and Tierney, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. I'm in the same CBS Sports Radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Channel 206, and the radio.com application. Do you think this is the actual game ball that Tiki got? You know, this is the game, I think, this was October 30th, 2005. This game ball was presented to Tiki Barber, Giants 36, Washington 0. You think this is the actual game ball?
I think that's the game ball that, I guess, Coughlin gave him. But mm-hmm. I don't know if the game ball actually is the ball used in the game. But that's definitely
No.
Right.
Yeah, that's not the ball that was physically used in the game.
Right, but that's definitely, I think, the game ball that Coughlin gave
him.
You
think so? Because I'm trying to think about this. If I had this piece of memorabilia, and then, I don't know, CBS hits you up, hey, we want to put some of your memorabilia in the studio, would you then try to just replicate it and get another football made up and you keep your football? Because anyone could come on in here in the weekend and just take this thing. Now, I hope people wouldn't do that, but I wonder if this was the physical game ball that he got, which it may be, it probably is, honestly, or is this the game ball that he just like went to a store and said, hey, can you guys just replicate the game ball? Because I don't want one of these possessions to be put in the studio, even though they want me to give something into the CBS Sports Radio studios. I would probably say that this is the legit game ball, right?
Yeah, but you're right. It is kind of strange that he would bring that like piece of memorabilia to work to just sit behind him when literally you could just take it right now. I mean, you never would do it, but like you could, or someone.
And when's the next time Tiki coming in studio?
Right, I mean,
hey, I'll go on eBay tonight.
Right, or someone coming in cleaning could just be like, ooh, wow, and take it, or, you know, there could always be somebody that walks in and takes it. So, I don't know, maybe it is some sort of replica.
Maybe, just maybe, Tiki has so much memorabilia that this was the ball that he wanted to give on out.
He probably has more than one game ball, right? Mm. You would think.
Now, this was the game ball when he had 206 yards rushing. You know, I remember this game. But this is pretty cool that this is just sitting there in our studios right now. I was looking around because I put on the helmet. And then, you know, there's a Navy hat in here. There's like some trophies, but they're fake trophies. And then I saw the Tiki Barber game ball, and that got my mind moving in a bunch of different directions, if this actually was the game ball or if he just made like some sort of replica of this game ball. And yeah, this was the first Giant game. I just wanted to double check this before I said it, because I think I remembered the game correctly. That's why I was like just kind of bloviating there for a second and repeating myself. Yeah, this was the first game. See, this is a big game ball. This was the first game after the death of Wellington Mara. Because Wellington Mara passed away on October 25th, 2005. This game was Sunday, October 30th, 2005. And this is a pretty significant game ball. We may have to get Tiki on next week and figure out if this was actually the game ball and why is it sitting here in the studio. Because you would think you put this right on the trophy case. Maybe Tiki is not a big memorabilia guy for himself. Except I've been on Zoom calls with him, and he has all of his jerseys hanging up in his house, too. He's got a boss man cave, that Tiki Barber. All right, we'll break here on the Zach Gelb Show. When we come on back, maybe we'll steal Tiki Barber's game ball. If not, here's what we'll probably do, because we don't want to get fired and upset Tiki, because Tiki's a real good dude. We'll give you picks on each and every game, just straight winners and losers.
Live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Connor, how long have you had those headphones that are on your cabeza right now?
I have had these headphones, I'd say, for 2 years. I think I got them for Christmas in 2018.
So I got these great headphones from Bose, but I got them 6, 7, 8 years ago, and I use them every day. You know, literally 7 days a week. And now they're starting to break down on me. The headphones, I'm starting to see like the insides of them. And they're peeling and everything. And these are great headphones. Like the Bose headphones are spectacular. But when you use something every single day, unfortunately, eventually it's going to wear down with all the wear and tear. So I have to make a new purchase on my headphones.
Yeah, I think, Zach, it might be time for an upgrade. A radio host has to have a good pair of...
It's essential.
...headphones, or as they call them, I've heard some people call them cans.
Cans, yeah, that's the radio term. If Bob Uessler was still doing our updates right now, Bob would be like, I'm wearing my cans. About to have a little tequila. That's what Bob Uessler would be saying right now. But I've always had Bose headphones, and they are just absolutely tremendous. I had a headphone issue, though, today. You call them AirPods? EarPods? What do you... I know, now I sound old. You call them AirPods, the Apple...
The ones with no wires?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, AirPods.
So I had my AirPods on today. FaceTiming with a buddy of mine. I'm going down to Philadelphia this weekend, and he's telling me what we're doing this weekend. We're golfing. We're going out for dinner on Saturday night. And I go to turn around. I just got back from the golf range. And when I was walking back, I was listening to music. And I get in my house, I throw my phone or my apartment, I throw my phone on the bed. And then as I turn around to go into the kitchen to wash my hands, because of the world we live in right now, and it's also good whenever you get into your home anyway, even before COVID, to wash your hands, I'm doing the heavy scrub in the sink. And I forgot my AirPod was in my ear, falls into the cereal bowl, even though I don't eat cereal. But it's like a cereal-style bowl. Just a regular bowl, actually. It looks like a cereal bowl. Like something you would eat cereal in. A classic bowl, duh. Obvious statement of the day. I love how I describe things. And I'm like, oh, it's a cereal bowl, but I don't eat cereal. So anyway, bowl's in the sink. And my AirPod slowly falls out of my ear into the bowl that is filled in water. Filled with water because I'm washing my hands. So I let out an expletive, oh, truck, let's just go with. Use your imagination. And I still have one headphone in, so I could still hear my friend. But usually when the AirPod falls out, it ends the call, I've realized. We had a guest on earlier this week who he had to call back in. Was it Jeff Fisher?
It was.
It was Jeff Fisher. He was on hold. And
and I said, what happened to Jeff? He's got to leave. He's done. He had enough.
And then he called back in. So I'm thinking, all right, my Bose headphones are now ruined, and now my AirPods are going to be ruined. Let the AirPod dry off, fish it out of the water within 5 seconds. Nothing happened. Now, I'm imagining the next time I turn it on, it's going to be faint or something's going to go wrong, but on my way to work today, on my pleasant walk, guess what? Worked perfectly.
You're a lucky man because I had a very similar issue, except when
I thought I was screwed.
When mine fell out of my ear, I was waiting for the train.
Oh.
Bounced off the platform, fell onto the train tracks. The train came by. That was it.
So it broke?
Gone. Broken, smashed.
Were you going to let the train go by and then maybe...
I had a little bit of time.
Tell an attendant to go get it?
Yeah, I had a little bit of time like to think about like if I can get down there, I can grab it. But it wasn't enough time and there's nobody around. And I was like, who am I going to go talk to about helping me get back up on the platform after I jump on the tracks to get my AirPods?
So I actually once saw a gentleman, his wallet and cell phone fell out of his pocket while getting on the subway. And I caught him like, sir, your wallet and cell phone just fell. And he goes, oh, okay. I'll just wait for the subway to go. And then he said he was going to jump onto the tracks, grab the cell phone, and then jump back up, which is something they don't advise you to do for obvious reasons. And I told him, you don't have to do that. What you can do if that ever happens to you on a subway, you go to the attendant and they have a system and a way to get you all of the information or all the things and items that you may have lost. All right. Anyway. By the way, I'm just looking at my daily steps today. 16,479, 7.4 miles. So I got to walk about 2.5-3 miles home. So we're going to get to like 20,000 steps today and probably 10 miles. Not a bad day. Had a long walk today to Chelsea Piers to go hit some golf balls at the range. All right, let me get to the sports talk. We'll get to that right now on the Zach Gelb Show. We may as well do some sports on a big football Friday. I'm just going to give you winners and losers right here. You know, we gave you the picks, the football picks this week. Gus Frerotte, Pats -2, Packers -3.5, Bears +6. Yours truly, Lions +2.5, Packers -3.5, Cleveland -3. As we do on every football Friday in this segment, I'm just going to give you the teams I think are going to win or going to lose. I like the Lions this week. I think for the Falcons, coming off a win last week, I don't think they make it 2 in a row. I think this is a high-scoring game. I don't really trust either of these teams. But to put more faith in Atlanta, I just can't do it. Browns and Bengals, no Joe Mixon in this game. The Browns are going to bounce back. They'll win by 10-plus points. I like them winning going away. This is what Cleveland does. Now, I saw a video of Baker earlier today in practice. He was banged up. But this is what the Browns, their formula is this year. Beat up on the bad teams. You'll get into the playoffs. Up against the elite teams, you're going to struggle. Bengals are a bad team with no Joe Mixon. That's a problem. Without Joe Mixon, so I like the Browns big time this week. Steelers-Tennessee, this is the game of the week. And I've gone back and forth on this one. I'm going to take the Steelers. I really wanted to take Tennessee because I love what Tannehill's doing right now. I love what Derrick Henry's doing right now. I'm going with the Steelers because of the defense. This is going to come down to third down stops. And right now, Tennessee is the worst third down defense in the league, even though offensively they're money on third down and inside the red zone. They're straight cash homie as well. Panthers and Saints. Now, when I look at the spread here, if I was betting on this, I would take the Panthers plus the 7 points. No Emmanuel Sanders, no Michael Thomas in this game. I think the final here is going to be 27-23. That's what I'm feeling. I think this is a 27-23 game. Do I go Panthers or do I go Saints here? You know what? Why not? The Panthers last week, they lose to the Bears. That was the game that I thought they were going to win and they didn't. I've been leading the charge here on the Carolina Panthers this year. I'm going to say they get their fourth victory of the season in stunning upset fashion. That line being 7, it's fishy to me. And the Saints are coming off a bye. So I could see why a lot of people are going to pick the Saints in this one. 7 points is a lot. Now, we're just asking who wins the game here. You look at the Saints this year. They lost to the Raiders. They lost to the Packers. They struggled against the Lions, got a victory. They struggled against the Chargers, got a victory. This comes down to the final few minutes. I told you about Carolina this year. There's going to be a lot of games that Carolina's in and they don't win. You know what? Why not? Everyone's going to take the Saints. I'm going to take the Carolina Panthers. They win this game, I think I said 27-23. Bills and Jets. Can the Jets make this a game for a half? Sam Darnold's coming back. Bills got a roll, right? They lost to Tennessee. They lost to Kansas City. They're still a good team. They're just not a great team. The Jets are a disaster. So maybe the Jets get a little jolt of energy because Sam's back, but they got no one to throw to. And their defense can't stop anybody. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, huge day. Bills Mafia wins. Cowboys-Washington. Cowboys better win. If the Cowboys don't win, someone needs to be fired. It's going to be Mike Nolan. I like the Cowboys to win. It will be sloppy at times. Washington has a good front seven. Cowboys will get the W, though. This is how bad it is for Dallas. Only 1-point favorite in this game. Packers, Texans like the Packers. Bucks, Raiders. We'll see if this game's even played. Because the Raiders, I know they had Trent Brown on the COVID list and the safety Jonathan Abram as well. And the whole offensive line was sent home this week. So who knows if this game's even played. There's no number on the game. Originally early in the week, it was Buccaneers -4, but they took that off the board. If this game is played, I like the Bucks. Now, some people would say, all right, let down Bucks. They got the victory against the Packers. Maybe they lose. The Bucks already had their letdown this year, and that's up against the Bears. Give me the Bucks, who, by the way, if you haven't heard, they signed Antonio Brown. He's not going to play in this game, but yeah, I like the Bucks this week. Chiefs, Broncos. Hey, give credit to the Broncos last week, going to New England, get a victory. Never easy to do, even if Tom Brady's no longer there. Offense was bad, though. 6 field goals by Brandon McManus. Defense was really good, picked off Cam twice. I'm going to take, in this one, the Chiefs, right? Now, Kansas City's only a 9.5-point favorite. I don't like betting against the Chiefs, especially because even if it's a close game, they could score late and cover the spread, even if it's like a 7-point game. So if you had to bet on this one, I would take the Chiefs minus the 9.5, but I like the Chiefs to, you know, we're just going winners and losers here. I think the Chiefs win, and I think they'll win going away. I'd like to see Drew Lock, though, step up and perform. That'd be nice. 49ers, Pats. I'm going against my Pats. I take the 49ers this week. And probably a lot of that pick is me saying the Pats need a victory, so let me pick against them, and they'll end up winning the game and make me eat some crow, which is fine. I'm more than fine if that happens. But that's a fun game. Even without Brady, you know, Jimmy G making his return to New England. Cam, can he bounce back? 49ers banged up. Pats get a little bit healthier now on the offensive line. I just got a feeling 49ers win a sloppy game. Jaguars and Chargers. I think this is closer than what people think. The line is Chargers -7.5. I'll roll with Justin Herbert, though. He's been on fire. Seahawks, Cardinals. You know what? This game's going to be back and forth. It would not surprise me if the Cardinals win. They usually play Seattle very tight. I just can't pick against Russell Wilson right now. 35-31, give me the Seahawks. And then finally, Bears and Rams. I keep on picking against the Bears. They're 5-1. Goff struggled last week up against the 49ers. The Rams, you feel like they should bounce back. And I'm very tempted to take the Rams, but you know what? I think this is a close game. Foles makes a play at the end. You got Donald, you got Mac. That's going to be a real fun Monday night game. Right now, and I could revisit this on Monday, I'll take the Bears. And the Bears. Would it be 6-1? Are you kidding me? The 6-1 Bears. And your buys this week, the Colts, the Dolphins, the Vikings, and the Ravens. Come on back. We'll ring the closing bell. Who do we have here on updates, Connor Green? Ah! We have a man that loves his Philadelphia Phillies. They did not love him, though, this year. Here's Mike McCann.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys. And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what? Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Oh, my God, we're back again.
Land of the plane here on a football Friday. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's end the show out in style as we do each and every day. Connor Green, please ring that New York City Stock Exchange bell. Closing bell time.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Isn't this funny how it works? We react to everything in the moment. And sometimes our analysis is fair and spot on. Other times it's an overreaction. After game one, look at the Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw responded to the noise. Mookie Betts was great. Bellinger was awesome with the home run. And the toe taps as well. Then in game two, the Dodgers, they're not starting Walker Buehler. They're saving him for game three. And the Dodgers lose that game. Oh, they got too cocky. Oh, they were arrogant. Now they have to go up against Charlie Morton. Even though they have Walker Buehler, that's going to be a great pitching duel. Dodgers could be a little bit trouble. This series could go longer than what people think. And I've always thought the Dodgers are going to win this series, but those are some of the takes. And I'll give credit to Brad Lidge, who joined us last night. He said the Dodgers were going to win game three and game four. Looks like they're going to win game three. Still a long ways to go, but we're in the bottom of the fifth. The Dodgers are up 5-0. Walker Buehler has been Walker Buehler. 4 1/3. 6 Ks. And then the bottom of the fifth right now. Now, Charlie Morton was not the Charlie Morton that we thought he was going to be and that we're used to seeing him in the postseason. 4 1/3, 7 hits, 5 earned runs, 6 Ks. Justin Turner had a first-inning home run. Then the Dodgers got 2 1/3 and 2 1/4. And Mookie Betts had a single that scored Jock Peterson. That was in the top of the fourth. That made it 5-0. Barnes sacrifice. That was the second, the first run in the fourth. And then in the third, Max Muncy. He had a single to center field. And you had 2 runs come across there. 5-0 Dodgers. Still got to get some more outs here. Still got to get through this game. But we'll give a stock up to the Dodgers taking care of business so far up against Charlie Morton, who's now out of the game. Let's go to South Philadelphia. Here is Carson Wentz with the game on the line after a face mask penalty, pushing him back. I think to the 18, he finds Boston Scott. Perfect throw by Carson Wentz.
Fulgham to the near side. Can he be the hero? Wentz is back. He's looking, still looking. He starts to go. He is firing. Touchdown! Boston Scott!
What a catch.
Corner at the goal line and went in.
What a catch. What a throw. What a catch. It's a back shoulder throw by Carson Wentz. And little Boston Scott somehow finds the football. What a throw. What a catch.
This is amazing.
A little wheel route by Boston Scott working against the safety. And what a throw. What a catch. The little man, Boston Scott.
That is a tremendous play.
What a tremendous play. The Eagles win. I'm Merrill Reese. Carson Wentz to little Boston Scott on 94 WIP for the Achiever and You, powered by PNC.
Merrill Reese, absolute legend. What a throw by Carson Wentz. Eagles come back. They were down by 11 points with a little over 6 minutes to go. Hey, hey, hey. How about the Giants? We'll get to them for a stock down in just a moment. But the Eagles, I know it's not pretty. I know it's the NFC least. That was a heck of a throw by Carson Wentz and a great catch by Boston Scott. Stock up to Carson Wentz and Boston Scott. Now, I love that all the Philadelphia writers and media members. Now, a lot of them are really good, but then some are just so cheesy. Boston beats New York for Philadelphia. I saw that like 3-4 times last night. Made me want to projectile vomit. Can we get any more cheesy than that? Stock up to the Big Ten. They're back. It's going to be Alabama, Clemson, and the college football playoff. Probably Ohio State as well. We'll see if Ohio State can take down and usurp either Alabama or Clemson at some point this season in the semifinal. I got to give a stock down to Evan Engram. Now, we talked about the Eagles getting that game-winning touchdown. Carson Wentz to Boston Scott. It was set up because Evan Engram was Mr. Butterfingers. He celebrated Halloween a little bit too prematurely. He dropped the football. As they would say in the movie The Replacements, maybe he should go do something with an elephant to get some sticky substance on his hands. If you ever see that movie with Clifford Franklin, I think was the name of the wide receiver in the movie The Replacements. Guy's got to catch the football there in that spot. Terrible, terrible, terrible drop by Evan Engram. And that drop caused a lot of grief for Sean Mraz. The great co-host and producer of the DA show, heard right here on many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 206 and the radio.com application, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, weekdays, Monday through Friday. I'm on Instagram last night. Mraz singing with his Giants hat on and that Giants Daniel Jones jersey. I'm back in the New York groove. He was so happy in his palatial estate. And then with 8 minutes to go, that man who's been a fan of a football team since 2017 that has the worst record in the league, is 13-42. He was putting up a post that said first place, and the Giants lost. Mraz celebrated way too early. Stock down for celebrating early.
You idiots! Get back in there at once and sell!
Let's go to Westwood One. Let's hear what they had to say on the Daniel Jones play.
Shotgun formation. Jones fakes it. Now he runs. He's got a huge hole. 25-30. And there he goes. Daniel Jones stumbles down at the 15. He could not get there. Running out of gas. Jones had nothing but green grass in front of him. And that typifies what this has been all about.
What
he is
this
down
bleep show
at
is.
The 8.
That's pretty much what Ian Eagle wanted to say, but he had to say it in the correct broadcasting way. I was waiting for Daniel Jones to rip off his helmet and it'd be Mark Sanchez running with the football and falling down. Luckily, Daniel Jones didn't fall into a butt. Stock down, Daniel Jones. And finally, real quickly, I just want to get to one more stock up, and I'll try to do this quickly. Casey Stern, who you know, MLB Network, radio, also NBA on TNT, you know, does a really good job. Baseball, TBS as well. His family has gone through something that no child should ever have to go to. Allegedly, three of his children were being abused by his ex-wife and whoever the ex-wife started to see. Casey Stern had the courage to come out with this story this week to try to help other families in the fight against a tough system when it comes to child abuse. Every child should be raised in a warm, loving, and caring environment. And I just want to give a stock up to Casey Stern for having the strength to share his story, but also trying to help others. You can check out my Twitter if you want to see the story, or go to Andrew Marchand's Twitter account in the New York Post. It's something a lot of people should read. So just want to send my well wishes to Casey Stern and keep on being a great dad, as he's always there for his children right now. He's done a really good job. So stock up to Casey Stern. Fun show today, Connor Green. Great job all throughout the week. Like to thank all the listeners, callers, and tweeters as well. We'll be back on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Also like to thank Gus Verratt and Russ Tucker for joining us. Enjoy the football. Enjoy the baseball. We'll talk to you on Monday, everybody. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.